continuing our series on going through the gateway. And we are talking about how that you need the baptism and the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We believe in this church and in this denomination that you're saved, sanctified, and baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of tongues. And if you have yet to speak in tongues, we ask you to keep seeking. In fact, the Bible says to keep seeking until you receive the gift. It is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You are sanctified. You do live a life of holiness. However, it is a gift of grace. And so you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Teenagers need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. With the evidence of tongues. Our children's church. I believe in a Pentecostal children's church. Amen. That they should be taught the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. I have seen 9 and 10 and 11 year olds filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. Don't you think we ought to do that early in life? Amen. And those of you who are seniors or maybe you're 50 and older, if you've never been filled, I know the Lord wants you to be filled as well. Now that once you get filled and you begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit brings utterance and that gift into your life, we believe it's the initial evidence, but not the only evidence. There are other gifts. And that's why we're calling this series the Gateway Series, because we're going on into the greater and deeper things of God. Now, I'd like to put on the overhead, if we have them, the manifestation gifts. These are the ones that Pastor Jerry is so wonderfully and eloquently speaking on each Wednesday night. Somebody say, let's read them together. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Let me hear you. Faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Those gifts are the manifestation gifts. Now, just to clarify the tongues down at the bottom there. Tongues and interpretation in reference to the manifestation in the body. All of these gifts are body manifestation gifts. Speaking in tongues, the evidence of the Holy Spirit is a private between you and the Lord, a private gift that God has given you. Now, the part that I'm doing, and I'm rapidly coming to a close here, is the everyday body ministry gift. So we have that list, which is, just give me a thumbs up if you have it, prophecy or preaching, ministry, or we call serving, teaching. And these are, when I say these gifts, you're called to teach. You're called to serve. This is a calling for you. It may not be a calling for others in the specific sense. Yes, in the general sense. Amen. The calling to encouragement. I told you about my Aunt Lola, who was a called encourager. That was her ministry gift. She did speak in the pulpit. She did prophesy. She did teach. She did other things. But she was called to be an encourager. Giving, which I'm talking about tonight. Leading and mercy. So, manifestation gifts, say manifestation gifts. Say ministry gifts. So we want you to understand they complement each other, but they are different. Just like the left shoe and the right shoe. Just like man and woman. Just like husband and wife. Just like north and south, east and west. They are complementary, but not the same. The manifestation gifts can be easily identified by that term, manifestation. In other words, it's here at one moment, it manifests. It'll be gone the next moment. It is something that God can use anybody. Anyone can give tongues and interpretation. Anyone can flow in the discerning of spirits. All 9 gifts are open to all members of the body of Christ. I'm sure in my life I have been used in all of those gifts. I'm sure if you look at your life, you have been to or most of them. And if not, you can be. God wants all of us, not just the preachers, not the presiding bishop. God wants all of us to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You ought to be hungry. Paul said, desire spiritual gifts. So that's the key right there. I want us to be a church that desires spiritual gifts, that's hungry hungers and thirsts after righteousness. We as Pentecostals have an ability that in tough times, dark times, hard times, we can bring a word in season. We can see the manifestation of a need or of an answer to a need, and it separates us from all others. And there's an anointing on us. We can be like Samson. We can take the gates of our cities. We can set the fields on fire. That's a good sermon series, all the miracles of Samson, because that's what God wants us to do. Somebody say amen. But that's good. Amen. I'm telling you. See, it's just cup flowing together. And well, he did. He set the fox's tails on fire, set the fields on fire. And that's what God has called the church, to set our world on fire. You know, a dead church is not going to do a whole lot for the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, my part is the ministry gifts. Now, generally speaking, we can all lead, give, serve, mercy, lead. But I'm talking about there are certain people in the body of Christ who are called to one of these nine offices. So, we've talked about preaching, we've talked about serving, we've talked about teaching, we've talked about encouraging. We are now at the calling to give. Now, would you stand with me tonight and let's read Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. I want to lay that foundation so we can know where we're headed and what the Lord is wanting us to do. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. If you're there, say amen. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many in one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having, somebody say having, what my list of gifts are is something you have one of these. This is a calling. You have this, or actually, I should say it has you. Amen. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether preaching or prophecy. Now, don't mistake that with the, it's very similar to the manifestation of prophecy. Anybody can flow in that. But I'm talking about having the gift or the calling to preach or prophecy. That is a calling. That is a permanent body gift. Not everybody's called to preach, right? And don't preach if you ain't called to preach. I knew I was called to preach. I felt the call to preach early in my life. And I not only felt it, but God dealt it. In other words, he gave me open opportunities. And even in the secular world, one of my very first jobs was working at the Rocky Mount Kmart. And you know what they hired me to do? Because the lady I went to church with was a manager there, and they needed a fella, someone to run the blue light special on the weekends. When you run the blue light special, you get on the intercom system and you say something like this: "Attention Kmart shoppers, on aisle number 3, we have such and such markdown on sale today." I didn't ask for that job. Somebody recognized that I could do that. I had a following. I had ladies that come in with white hair and they want to know what was on blue light today. That was what I was called. How could I ever deny God's called me to preach? I mean, it's a gift he's given me. I didn't ask for it. I certainly don't deserve it. But I will tell you this, I want to use it for his glory. Amen. So, and just because I have that calling and you have something different, does it make me better and you less? We're all, everybody is somebody in his body. Amen. So Romans chapter 12, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait upon our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. That word simplicity means liberally. And he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening, and bless in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody you are glad to see them tonight. The gift of giving, the calling to give, the making a difference through the gift of giving. Now, my general outline has been three, and all of these, which I didn't plan it that way, it unfolded that way, is talking about the gift generally, specifically, and structurally. Now, let me go to point one. I'm going to hit the highlights from point one, because that's all we covered last time. I'm not going to repeat everything from last time, But I want you to hear that message from last time. I believe the Lord will speak to you. But let me just remind you that when I say that we are called to give, a couple things here. Number one, I'm not saying that I'm called to give or you're called to give and you're not called to give and you're not. We all have a duty to give. And number two, when I speak of giving, I understand there's certain giving of time. I understand there's giving of wisdom. And I know that we give our talents to the Lord. But really what this is talking about is finances. Money. M-O-N-E-Y. Or as one songwriter said, money, money, money. All right. So we're talking about money. We're talking about giving. Now, it doesn't exclude those other things, but this is the thrust of that. I'm talking about the gift of giving financially. Number one, we are all supposed to be givers. Can I get an amen out there? It is the normal part of the Christian life. The normal. How many of you want to be a normal Christian? Amen. You want to be functioning and you want to be under the unction and the function. You want to be in the ebb and the flow, just like it's normal for a baby to cry. Just like it's normal for a husband to kiss his wife, just like it's normal to breathe, just like it's normal to wear shoes on rocks. I mean, it is normal. In other words, what I'm trying to say is if you are born again and if you are a Christian and you don't give something financially or don't want to give something financial, then that is abnormal. You see, the God who saves you, the God who redeems you, you begin to realize that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It is part of your DNA to be a financial giver to the kingdom of God. Amen. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before these, the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. They have their reward. Jesus said, when you give. He didn't say, if you give. And he wasn't saying you shouldn't give. He said, you should give, but don't give like the hypocrites are. You don't need to know what other people are giving. It's not equal. John Hedgepeth, you go to his great church at Northwood Temple, and he's had it for 20 years, really needs to change it and update it. You know, sometimes we kind of do this, we never change, and it's the same decor, same theme, same this, that. After a while, it gets old, but he still got it up there, not at least the last time I went, and he had it in the 90s when we used to go. It says, not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. Say that with me. Not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. So I'm not telling you that the Bible, Jesus is saying, don't be as the hypocrites are. Don't, you know, if you're using money to get influence, to get your way, if you're using funds and dollars to try to get yourself certain favors or certain positions, and there are people, and sometimes people in the church, they pull out their checkbook, and it's not an offering to God. It is a way to manipulate, and I'm going to give you this money, but I want this, and I want to be on this, and I want to do that. Then that's not what you're supposed to do. That's abnormal. The true Christian gives and gives unto God. That's not what the left hand know, what the right hand is doing. We give hilariously and spontaneously. We give normally. We give above the normal. We give it all. It all belongs to God. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. If I can just give me a thumbs up when you have it there. Give, and it shall be given unto you. So Jesus teaches us to give. The Bible tells us how much to give. This is a reminder. Malachi chapter 3 and 10 says, bring all the what? So the tithe is not 10%. That's a misunderstanding. People say I'm giving 10%. That's good, but the tithe is the first 10%. So the first 10% of the money you make belongs to the Lord. All right? Now Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, people say, well, tithe is not in the New Testament. Well, it's right here, Jesus. Matthew chapter 23. By the way, I don't subscribe to the idea that the Old Testament, in fact, one leading, Andy Stanley or somebody like that, they said something about the we need to get unhitched from the Old Testament and do away with the Old Testament. That's false. There's not a different God from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It is one God from everlasting to everlasting. What he did in the Old Testament is very much in effect. The Ten Commandments are still in effect. Now, we do not bring blood of bulls and goats. that was fulfilled in Jesus. And it's clearly said that. But everything else is still in effect. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe. And then he says you ought to have done it and not left the other undone. In other words, you should have done tithing and not to leave the others undone. So Jesus, you want to know his opinion on it? You ought to tithe. Turn around to somebody. I'm looking. What'd you say? I didn't hear you. Who said that? Pastor Jerry says that. Oh, Pastor Ricky says that. Oh, no, no, no. Jesus says you ought to tithe. Why don't we give the Lord a praise? Because he's got good things in store for us. You can't outgive God. I know that tithing is a seed we sow, not a debt we owe. I know Oral Roberts came up with that. I've got the book he wrote on that, and I agree with that. I say it is, in a sense, not a debt I owe. It is a seed I sow, but in a sense, it is a debt I owe. I owe the Lord everything. Amen. Paul said, we are debtors unto God. So, not that he needs my money. He doesn't need my dollars or cents. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He is the God of glory. He doesn't need my little crinkled up George Washington. But I need him in my finances. The Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay by him in store as God has prospered him. So, 16 of the 38 parables, Jesus deals with money. One out of six verses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke deals with a man and his money. The Bible has 500 verses on prayer, 2,300 verses on money. Jesus, someone said, mentioned money and finances more than prayer, heaven, or hell. So let me make this clear. The gift of giving is financial giving, and we should all be doing that as followers of the Lord. And if you believe it, say amen. That was point number one. So we know everybody should be giving. But there is point number two, the call to giving specifically. There are some people who have a divine burning bush calling to give, and I mean give financially. The fifth category of giftedness is that of giving. The usual Greek verb for giving is didomai, but the word here in this is metadidomai, which carries beyond the normal giving. Meta, beyond the normal giving. See, Peter Wagner, a great theologian, said that the gift of giving is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to contribute their material resources to the work of the Lord with liberality and with cheerfulness. There are some people who have the gift of giving, a special ability. Someone else said that the calling to give, the specific calling to give, is the supernatural, I like that, functional gift that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to contribute their material resources to the work of the Lord with liberality and cheerfulness. So there is, in this gift, a calling to give. And there are people who have responded to that call. There are people who have said yes to that call. People who whose heart God has touched. But now I do want to say that this calling to give is a little bit harder to recognize, because unlike preaching that is in front of people, unlike serving that is recognized by others, or teaching, giving and those who are called to give, a lot of times, and I'd say 80% of the time, they know they are called to give, but it's not something that is recognized, because you're really not, in a sense, I wouldn't say brag about it or make a show of it, because those who are called to give, the last thing they want to do is to bring glory to themselves. In fact, they want to bring glory to God. And so when you think about the calling to give, and I'll tell you this, the body of Christ and the work of God has had its preachers and has had its Ezras and has had its Nehemiahs, its serves and builders, and it's had its Moses, the lawgivers. But I'll tell you, throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, throughout church history, if people had not been specifically called to give just as much as Peter was called to preach, we would not be where we are today. Souls would not have gotten saved. The church would not have moved forward. God has used the calling to give in a tremendous and a mighty way. Now, we may not recognize, and we might not can point and say, well, here was a person called to give, and therefore X, Y, Z. We might not can do it as easily as the others, but they are there. Can I get a witness out here tonight? Let me give you some examples here of those who we do know were called to give and who made a tremendous eternal difference in the world. Go to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Go to Luke chapter 8. Now, I couldn't think of anybody in the Old Testament. Now, I rolled over and over my mind. I said, Lord, who had the gift of giving in the Old Testament? Now, the only person I could even come close, because they're there. They are there. They just are not seen in that light. And they may not even be recorded in that light. Maybe the closest one would be King Solomon. Because he was not really a prophet. He was a teacher because he wrote the book of Proverbs. But he was also a giver. He had great influence. But I don't know. I'm on the fence with Solomon. So in the Old Testament, I couldn't point to one person in particular. They're there. I just couldn't find them. But look at this in the New Testament. You know what I'm talking about. In Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. If you're there, say amen. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Now, verse 2 said, a certain woman, whoo, there she is, there it is, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Thank God for Mary and Magdalene, but do you remember Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward? And Susanna, and many others, which did what? Read it out loud. Of their substance. So here we have people who had devils cast out, people who had worshiped the Lord. But I'll tell you, there were some people here who got saved, and their position and their calling was to minister unto the Lord, not just in incense, not just in hands lifted up, but in pocketbooks opened. They not only gave out of a general sense of giving, but they ministered unto him. They financed his ministry. How do you think you can feed 12 grown men 365 days a year? It takes a bankroll. It takes a payroll. Come on now. 12 grown men, Jewish men. I'm telling you, they like to eat. Just like we Americans. I mean, it costs something. Ministry costs something. And it costs something to run these lights. It costs something to keep these grounds up and facilities. It costs something to print pages and to have internet and cameras and all of that. And it costs something. And the Bible says that in clergy, that those who are in full-time ministry should be ministered to through physical means as they minister to you in spiritual means. We know that. And everybody said amen, I hope. She ministered out of their substance. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 15. So we have Joanna and Susanna. And I like the fact that Joanna was the wife of Herod's steward. I love that because the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. You know, Herod was old, wicked, evil, adulterating, backslidden, persecuting a man. And yet right out of his very own staff, his chief steward, his chief steward's wife, out of the money Herod was paying him, and I'm sure it was top dollar, oh, his wife was just funneling it right on back to Jesus, right on back to the disciples, right on back to the word of the Lord. And it was a ministry. She was called to give, and she responded to that call to give. Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. If you're there, say amen. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated. That word communicated is a fancy word for no church gave financially with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire money, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So he's saying, you Philippian church, of all the churches I pastored, and all the churches that I've planted, and all the churches that I've preached at, you were the number one. And I like what he says here, in giving and receiving. But you might miss that if you read that. He said, no church communicated me like you did in the matter of giving and receiving. Because he didn't say, you didn't, he didn't say you, you communicated to me in giving. In other words, you blessed me with giving. He said, no, you blessed me with giving and receiving. In other words, you gave, but you're going to be receiving again. Friend, somebody say giving and receiving. I'm going to tell you something. When you give, you are going to receive. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto you. Why don't we give the Lord a praise that we give and we receive? That's a principle. Giving and receiving. Say it again. Giving and receiving. Now, I want to tell you something. I can guarantee you that the whole church of Philippi didn't do that. I'll guarantee you there was one, two, three, or four who had the calling to give. Might have been somebody else in Herod's staff. You never know. But somebody in that church who will never know their names, individual members throughout that church gave. And by the way, it doesn't matter the dollar amount. He did call the church out because there were many, many who gave, but I guarantee you there was a few that come together with what they had and what they had, maybe small, maybe large. But I want you to know that Paul would not have done what he did. He would not have reached who he reached, the New Testament as we know it, if it weren't for people in the church who were called to give. And that was their body ministry gift. Somebody say amen. In history, has anybody ever heard, of Frederick the Wise? Have you ever heard of Martin Luther? You never heard of Frederick the Wise, did you? Frederick the Wise, if it weren't for him, we might not even have had a Protestant Reformation. Frederick the Wise was a government official in Germany, a very wealthy man, and the Roman Catholic Church was out to get Martin Luther. And buddy, it would be like the Mafia or ISIS. It'd be like terrorists. And I hate to say that about the Catholic Church, but and the very godly people in the Catholic Church, but this was an ungodly time. And Frederick the Wise financed and housed Martin Luther in a castle, paid the light bill, paid people to keep him from being captured, bankrolled it, and stood up to the Pope and said, you're not touching Martin Luther. He has the freedom to write. Martin Luther, the dole, is that what you call it? Under the pay, under the provision of Frederick the Wise, was able to write the word of God for the first time from a foreign language, Latin, into German. And eventually the English people took that copy, and then we have the English Bible. But I'm telling you, Frederick the Wise might not have ever preached a sermon. He might not have ever wrote a book, but he ministered to the Lord out of his substance. He was a man in history who was called to give, and that gift made a difference. And if we didn't have Frederick the Wise, we might possibly would have never had the Protestant Reformation. Can we praise God for that? Have you ever heard of William Randolph Hearst? Have you? Go ahead. Who is he? You ever heard of Billy Graham? Okay. William Randolph Hearst, in one time, owned every major newspaper in America. Now, this is before the internet. This is before the Drudge Report. This is before Fox News and Rush Limbaugh. This is before CBS and ABC and NBC. The number one way people got news and got information was the newspaper. Now today, the newspaper is not a big deal. I still read the newspaper. I subscribe to the Wilson Times because I find out, you know, interesting things, what's going on in our community. But I don't really read it. I just scan it. And I do not watch the news at all. I used to watch the news, watch the weather, but I don't even like the weather. I think sometimes they're biased. If they're going to vote for Trump, they'll surely say it's a cloudy day. Please take that out of Facebook there. I was just kidding, but not a lot. But if that offends you, I want to say you can apologize to me after the service, all right? And did you catch that? But William Randolph Hearst heard about a little scrawny preacher from North Carolina. And somebody said, this man is really doing something. And he went to hear him in Los Angeles. And that won't be a small crowd gathered, maybe a few hundred. And he went the next morning after hearing Billy Graham, and he said two words. He told his main man in New York, he said, Puff Graham. P-U-F-F, Puff Graham. In other words, make something big out of Billy Graham. And buddy, on every newspaper from sea to shining sea was Billy Graham, Billy Graham, Billy Graham, Billy Graham. And overnight, that Los Angeles revival put him on the map. And I want you to know that from that Los Angeles revival, Billy Graham, I read his, it's that thick. I read his biography 4 years ago, and it took me about 4 years to read it. I'm just kidding. But I read in that biography where he personally witnessed to Winston Churchill. He led to the Lord Dwight David Eisenhower. Do you think Billy Graham would have ever had an access to those men if it were not for a man by the name of William Randolph Hearst? Can we praise God for the gift of giving? By the way, I don't know that William Randolph Hearst ever became a Christian. I don't know that he was a Christian. But how many of you know that there are some people who have the gift and the calling to preach, and they never got saved, and they died and went to hell with that gift? I know right now I have an uncle. I know for matter of a fact he's called to preach, but he's yet to give his life to the Lord. I pray that he does. But if he doesn't, it doesn't mean he wasn't ever called and set apart to do it. He just didn't do it. William Randolph Hearst pushed Billy Graham, and because of that, the gospel has gone around the world, even to this day. Has anybody ever heard of Belton Thompson? Has anybody ever been to the Falcon before? Has anybody been to the conference office, to the main door? Well, if you walk in the conference office of the main door there, over to the left, it'll say the Belton Thompson Annex. Does anybody know who Belton Thompson was? All right. He was a member of the Whiteville First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Has anybody ever heard of Whiteville, North Carolina? It goes down the Lumberton and go east. About 40 minutes over is a town called Whiteville. It's in Columbus County. And Darnell and I lived there for a year where we lived outside of Whiteville. So nice little town. And Belton Thompson. Anybody ever heard of Oral Roberts? Well, Oral Roberts went to Whiteville and preached. And Belton Thompson somehow or another got touched. And Belton Thompson was a multimillionaire. And I want you to know that he financed Oral Roberts in those early, early days. And if you read the biography of Oral Roberts, not his later biographies, but his early original biographies, you will read the name of Belton Thompson. He was a member of the Pentecostal Holiness Church. And by the way, I think everybody knows this, but people may not know this, but Oral Roberts was a Pentecostal Holiness preacher. Is everybody aware of that? He pastored in Fuquay Arena, for a year in the '40s. He preached Falcon Camp Meeting. He's from Oklahoma. He was part of the IPHC until he got so strong and so big, and then he went out on his own. But, Belton Thompson was called to give. He might not have ever laid hands on a person and saw their sickness healed. He might not have ever preached in a pulpit. But this man had a gift of giving financially, and it made a difference. There is a calling to give. Somebody say amen tonight. What about the Green family? Does anybody know what I mean by the Green family? Has anybody ever heard of Hobby Lobby? Okay, the Green family owns Hobby Lobby. They're not preachers. They're not theologians. But I'm telling you, the Green family, they minister to the Lord out of their substance. They are called to back the cause of Christ financially. And when you go to Hobby Lobby, and where did Hobby Lobby come from? Last 20 years, Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathing, all of these people. I mean, I want you to know that these people were called to give financially. And in regards to the Green family, Darnell and I just went to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Has anybody been to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.? When did you go? I didn't know you went. 2017. Was it amazing? I mean, it is an unbelievable, right in the middle of Babylon itself. The swamp itself is a museum to the Word of God. It's got President Trump's Bible in there where he was inaugurated. It's got Obama's Bible where he was inaugurated. It's got Bush's 41 and 43 Bible in there. It is a, what is that? That is their calling to give. It takes money to run that thing. That thing was, they spared no expense. There's a restaurant on the top deck. Me and Darnell on our Friday night of our vacation, we were having a nice meal on the top of a building in Washington, D.C. And thank you, Green family, because it sure blessed us. Amen. And then we saw a Broadway musical on Amazing Grace, and souls have been saved. Lives have been changed. So these are people in history who has a calling to give, who's made a difference. Now, anybody ever heard of George Pugh from Greenville, North Carolina? George Pugh. You ever heard of Pugh's Tires? If you live around Greenville, pick up. I was in Greenville for a long time. George Pugh attended the Greenville Church of God where Darnell and I met. Glory. In a revival. And George Pugh had immense finances, but he loved the Lord. He never preached. He was an evangelist. But he would give money to churches. And he would challenge churches that were trying to build. He would say, I'll give you half of the cost of the building to stir your people up. And many church buildings in that area were built, not because of a state overseer or a bishop, but because a man answered the call to give. Here's another one, Moses King. Moses King. Anybody ever heard of Moses King? He's Pentecostal holiness. Is it just me or is that the third or fourth bell that was rung? I feel like they're trying to give me a signal here. Brother Elam, would you, is the book out there, Thy Kingdom Come? Is it out there? Would you mind going over and pulling up that book? It says In His Kingdom or For His Kingdom. It's on the wall there. It's by Moses King. Can you find that and bring it up here to me? Do you mind doing that if there's still a copy? It's got the word kingdom on it out there. Okay. But what's it now? Goldish Brown. Okay. But that man owned the Piggly Wiggly in Mount Olive, North Carolina. And he owned other businesses. And he as well, he has funded missionaries. He has helped churches. He's never preached Falcon Camp meeting. And he wrote a book. And I read this book several years ago. And he talked about the gift of giving. Thy kingdom come. So, say that with me. Thy kingdom come. There's the Wellens family. The Wellens family from around Carteret County and around Dunn. The Wellens family, multimillionaires in real estate, Pentecostal holiness people. Emmanuel College would not be there today if it were not for the Wellens family. They just celebrated 100 years. But I want you to know God has called certain people to the gift of giving. Can you say amen here tonight? Can you give the Lord a hand of praise for that tonight? His kingdom come. J.D. Rockefeller, one of the richest men ever that lived at the age of 55, he was dying. The doctor said he had but months to live. He could not digest food. He was hungry, but he had an ulcerated stomach. It gave him constant pain in his mid-50s. By his own testimony, he said, I did not have 1 hour of uninterrupted sleep for 5 years. 55 years of age, extremely wealthy, but miserable. He decided, well, I'm going to die. I might as well do something with all I've earned, so I'm going to just start giving it away. And he started to give away some of the things that he had. He started giving it away. And as he began to give it to this organization and give it to that organization, something radically and dramatically changed in his life. His ulcer healed. His blood disorder evaporated. For whatever reason, they couldn't figure out why. But this man who had only months to live, lived for another 35 years. He died in his mid-80s. And they believe it was because he answered the calling to give. Because I want you to know God says it's not just giving. It's giving and receiving. If you sow a dollar, God will give it back to you. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Come on and celebrate God tonight. Amen. That's the call to gift specifically. There's a specific calling to give. And by the way, don't quantize this. You may not be a multimillionaire, but you can be called to give. Because I'll tell you what, if you're called to give your $25, your $50 sacrifice, it can make a tremendous difference to the kingdom of God. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he's purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. For God loves a what? A cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may abound. People say, are you a prosperity preacher? I'm not a poverty preacher. I can tell you that now. I believe God wants me to be blessed and highly favored of God. I believe he wants me to have a nice car. I believe he wants my car to be working. I believe he wants me to have enough for the light bill and maybe enough for flowers on the curb. I believe God wants me to have a nice home. I believe he wants me to have electricity and running water. Now, I'm here to tell you, people say, well, that's that, you know, what if you don't have, well, there's a true, I mean, the Russians could invade and our economy could collapse and I may have a little tent down the street here and if I do, and if it's the best I can do, hey, God will be with me in that little tent. But right now we have a prosperous country. And I'll tell you, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I am blessed and highly favored. I'm going to be blessed on my 401k. I'm going to be blessed with health insurance. I'm going to have more money than month. I am a child of the living God. It's his delight. He said, I delight in the prosperity of his servant. You need to get out of that poverty mentality to wait for somebody to bail you out because you can't learn how to spend your money. That's what it is. You got to learn how to do cash flow. You got to learn to save. You got to learn to pray. And you got to learn to give to God. Where did all this come from, Pastor? It's coming. But I'm telling you, it's coming. I want you to know our God wants us to be blessed and highly favored of God financially. Glory to God. The pastor likes those little sports cars. I like the big Lincolns. It don't matter what you like. God says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Glory to God. I love driving my Lincoln. Now, it ain't the newest Lincoln out there. And I believe one day he might give me a new Lincoln. Now, I'm not going to get a Rolls Royce. I don't think it's right to have a $150,000 car. I can tell you that now. Not when there's people suffering in Africa. But listen, we serve a good God. Amen. He wants you to have. I had a man in my church and his wife. They were in that poverty cycle. They came to church, and I knew God wanted to do better for them. And they would come, and they would have tired up clothes, and now listen. If that's the best you can do, there's nothing wrong with that. The church will take you in, and God will love you if you have tattered clothes. Can I get a witness out there? But that wasn't the case with them. They were just blowing out our money to children on drugs. And they have, I said, brother, I said, let me tell you something. Go to Walmart. They got nice pleated pants for like $15. You can get a nice pair of shoes for $20. You can afford that. Here, I'll give you some. You can get a nice button-down shirt. I said, let me tell you something. Just do the best you can. If the Walmart outfit is the best you can do and you do it for Jesus, but do something better than what you're doing. Amen? Because God wants you. You're representing a king. Lord have mercy. I better stop before I get in trouble here tonight. And I'll tell you what. They went to Walmart. And I mean, they probably didn't spend $50 on the clothes. But listen, $50 to them was an investment so that they could present themselves well to the kingdom of God. And they did that. And they're thriving in the church and being blessed. And they give their tithe. And God has pulled them out of that financial poverty. He does not want you to stay in financial poverty. He doesn't want you just to be a get. He wants you to be able to give. Amen. How many of you want to give? Amen. I tell you what, I said, God, if you'll get it to me, I said, I promise you, you'll get it through me. I love to give. I'm telling you, people say I'm a hilarious giver. I tell you what, you don't have to have a burning bush. But if you just be a hilarious giver and just give to God and give what you can, you say, preacher, I can't give more than $50. You give what you can. What you have, start where you are, and who knows, you might be the Green family one day. Maybe not in that billionaire status. Maybe not, but you can be better than where you are tonight. God doesn't want you owing credit cards. God doesn't want you in poverty. He doesn't want you in debt. He said, I will make you to lend and not borrow. I want people to come to me and say, Brother Ricky, can you help me? And I want to say, yes, I can. And by the way, I ain't going to give you something for nothing because I don't help you out. If I'm going to give you something, I'm going to make you earn it a little bit so you'll appreciate it and so you'll learn how to do it. But can I get another amen out there? And I'm going to close with this because I'm already in trouble. But she said, well, my son, he's my son. You don't understand. You don't have any children. And I said, honey, I think I know I'm a pastor, but I believe in souls. But what's happening is your son is staying at your house, right? Yeah. And what is he doing? Well, he sleeps all day. Well, what does he do at night? He goes out and gets drunk and he does drugs. I said, well, where does he get the drug money from? Well, he works a job here and he works a job there. I said, you know where he gets his drug money from? It's the fact that he doesn't pay rent and utilities. I can't do drugs because I owe $1,000 a month. Hallelujah. That's the money that ain't going to drug. I said, here's what I suggest you do. Now, you can do what you want to do. You're his mama, and I don't have children, so you can just throw what I say out of sight. But if I were you, I'd go and put my foot down and say, son, you're going to start paying mama rent. I got to pay the doctor. I got to pay the light bill, and you got to help. If not, you can move on down the street. And I promise you, he ain't going to move down the street because there ain't nothing better than home. I promise you, he may pout and cry, but you hang in your ground, mama. And sure enough, I said, and here's what you do. You take his little $300 a month of rent, because he's going to take that $300 a month, or he's going to either pay you, or he's going to pay the drug dealer down the road. And if you don't want to keep your son's money because you're his mama, then put it in savings account. And then after he gets a little head on his shoulders, and after God works on him, just put it in savings account. Put it in savings account. And when he gets ready to move out on his own, say, here's $5,000 of money that would have gone to drugs that mama saved for you, and I don't want to keep your money because I'm your mama. Are y'all with me here tonight? And I'll tell you what, that's exactly what she did. And her son got married. And as far as last I heard, was doing well. Folks, we can't stay in that poverty. We can't finance people on drugs and alcohol. We got to say, listen, God loves you. But let me tell you how you can get out of that. Would you stand with me tonight? I better stop while I'm ahead. Father, we thank you for the gift of giving tonight. We thank you for those who have given to us. Times when I needed help, Lord, financially. Times, Lord, when I didn't know where the next paycheck was coming from. Lord, thank you for those who are answering the call. And Lord, if there's somebody, and I believe in this church, there are people who are called to give. Maybe not in the big dollars, but maybe in the small dollars, in the small ways. But Lord, help us to respond to that and help us to give hilariously. And we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said, amen. Tell three people you're blessed and highly favored. God bless you. We love you tonight. Amen. We'll see you Sunday. God bless you.